tonight on The Because Show. The best of the best. The greatest hits of all the good things we talk about, including
Las Vegas,
untranslatable words,
makeup,
the science of happiness,
your ass,
and your boobs. Here we go. This is Gerilyn,
Amy,
and Susan.
Susan's in the other room, but we are going to blast off without her. She's going to have to run to catch up to us. And guess what?
Right.
We're going to talk all about Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be stepping away from the microphone. I'm going to let you, my lovely co-hosts, hold down the fort.
Yes.
For the first time ever.
Oh my gosh, it's exciting.
In the history of the Because Show.
I know, it's a first, everybody.
You guys are going topicless.
Yes.
Topless.
Yes.
I do have voicemails that I'll bring around later. And
okay.
This week I can actually access them.
Yay.
But yeah, it's been a busy week for everybody. Our kids started school.
Yep. Gerilyn's got to go help hers with her homework. That's why we got a delay.
We are going to get right into it. But Amy, why don't you tell about the book you were raving about, Brain on Fire?
I read a really good book. I'm just going to sit here and talk by myself till Susan gets here. But everybody, now that we're alone, I can tell you about some very important things, and I'm going to gossip about Susan and Gerilyn nonstop. I'm going to tell you all their secrets. Okay, not really. Besides, they tell them all on the show. So I read a really good book. I'm kind of a loser. Let's start there, because I went to Las Vegas, and I was in Las Vegas, and I was like, you know what? I really just want to go read my book, because I'm lame. But honestly, you know when you really like a book, and you just want to get back to it, and you could be anywhere in the world, and you don't care because you want to read your book? That's what this book did to me. It's called Brain on Fire, subtitle My Month of Madness by Susanna Cahalan, not Callahan, Cahalan. And it is nonfiction. It's a memoir of sorts about a woman, a very young woman. She's only about 24, 25 in the course of the book. And she is a journalist at the New York Post. That's important. And she basically loses her mind over the course very quickly and very severely over the course of a very short period of time, about 6 weeks. She starts feeling, the first thing that happens is she gets obsessed with bed bugs in her apartment. She thinks there's going to be bed bugs. And even when the exterminator tells her there's not, she kind of can't let it go. And it just sort of goes downhill from there, and she doesn't know what's going on. She's tired and her hand is tingly. You know, she's got some physical symptoms, but then she's got all kinds of, you know, when you're mentally not quite right, but you know it, you know, it's not like you're like, oh, my arm is bleeding. Like my arm is slashed off at the elbow and bleeding. I know exactly what's wrong. But when your mind is going, you're kind of aware of it and you're like, well, I can just talk myself out of it. I can just be like how I am usually, but then you can't. So she, you know, like colors are too vivid. She's usually a big overachiever and she's unprepared for work. She forgets about things. I think she hears voices. I mean, it just gets steadily worse. Then it'll get better for a few days and she thinks she's over it, whatever that crazy thing was, and then worse again. So she starts seeing, well, I don't want to ruin this book, but she starts seeing doctors, et cetera, et cetera. She eventually, has this huge and terrifying seizure and goes to the hospital where she stays for a month. While everybody tries to figure out what's wrong with her, and nobody knows what's wrong with her, and she is just getting worse and worse by the day. She goes from, you know, this strange sort of bipolar nervous breakdown to out-and-out psychotic and violent, and finally to catatonic, just kind of sitting there, no affect, no reactions, no nothing. And in the meantime, her parents, you know, her parents are divorced. Everybody's kind of freaking out. Nobody knows what's wrong with her. She has this lovely boyfriend. She hadn't been with him for very long, but he's quite devoted to her and loyal to her when she's sick. And she doesn't remember. Oh, so she wrote this memoir. So obviously she got over it. But she didn't remember anything from that month in the hospital. She has zero memories of it at all. So what she did, being a journalist, is she just put that kind of journalist spirit to work and tried to recreate it. And she spoke to her doctors. She spoke to her parents. Her parents kind of kept a journal between them coming and going so they could keep straight what was going on. You know, because they, like I said, they're divorced, so they weren't communicating all that much, but this is how they did it. She was on the epileptic ward in the hospital, so there were videotapes of her so she could watch the tapes. And she just sort of tried to piece it together. So it's really gripping and a really interesting book, especially when she talks about what she was going through. I mean, you kind of forget that she doesn't remember it because it's really vivid. And it's fucking terrifying. Seriously, it is so scary. I mean, I feel like I probably am past, like, I'm not like, oh no, it's going to happen to me. I'm 44. It hasn't happened yet. I mean, knock on wood, but I'm like, but you do think like, what if it happened to my kid? What if it happened to my sweet, young, innocent kid? When he turns 24, he just goes batshit, you know? Terrible. So scary. So it turns out she has, I don't think I'm going to ruin anything here because we all know what the book's, it's not really about suspense. It's just about tracking this experience. So it turns out she has this incredibly rare disease. And it takes us a pretty incredible doctor to diagnose it. And he diagnoses it with a very, you know, after they spend $1 million trying to diagnose her, trying to figure out what's wrong. And he diagnoses it with a super simple test, like very quickly. And she has this autoimmune disease where, if you don't know what that is, it's kind of like the opposite of AIDS, where at AIDS, I've just been talking and talking. If you have AIDS, your immune system sort of stops working. If you have an autoimmune disease, it goes overtime and it starts kind of attacking. Instead of attacking, you know, an intruder or bad germs or bad blood cells or whatever, your brain starts attacking itself. I mean, your body starts attacking itself, and that's what was happening with her brain, which is really scary. Her brain was kind of, it was inflamed, and that's why they call it brain on fire. So it's kind of about this month in the hospital that she doesn't remember, and then her slow recovery and what that was like and what she was like. And I recommend it. It was really good. I was definitely really glued to it. But I have to tell you guys, this book that I'm talking about, I bought it at the airport. It's been on my list. It's missing about 17 pages, and they are the most important 17 pages in the entire book. It is just like the fulcrum upon which the whole book turns on.
That and seems like, to be a Because Show theme.
I know. And then it repeats some pages near the end, not the ones I'm missing, but like, yeah, it's like the same 20 pages are repeated. I was like, what the hell? I was actually so into this book, I didn't even notice that those pages were missing until I was like well past them, and I'm like, this didn't happen, that didn't happen, what's going on? It took me a while to figure it out. So I recommend this book very highly. When you get it, page through it, make sure it has all the pages, especially like 142 to 163. And it was really, really good.
Wow, what an amazing book review.
Yeah, thanks for the 2 seconds of it you heard. I was saying it was lame because I was in Las Vegas and I just wanted to read my book.
You guys were pretty, so I went to Vegas. Mm-hmm. I was at DEF CON, and these guys, Geraldine and Amy, came mm-hmm. to visit me there and hang out. And so at DEF CON, there's like big, huge parties every night.
Right.
Parties. Where's the party? Let's go to this party, and then let's go to that party. So while I'm like getting ready to go party hopping, these guys are just getting back. It's like, I don't know, 10 mm-hmm. o'clock. And I'm like, okay, guys, come on, let's go to parties. And they're like, you know, I think maybe we're just going to stay in and read our books.
You guys, we did Vegas wrong. Like, we did it wrong. Like, from when Geraldine picked me up, she, you know, our plane was at, whatever, 11. And she was just like, I have to pick you up at 8. I was like, fine. So we got to the airport in like half an hour. You know, we were there like 2.5 hours early. And so from then, it was like, we spent most of Vegas, Geraldine and I, because we didn't see Susan all that much because she was busy with her Susan activities. We spent most of Vegas like waiting for a thing, like just killing time waiting for a thing. And then when the thing happened, after the thing, we're like, we're so tired, we have to go to bed. So it was fun. It was a fun trip, but it was a frustrating trip. It was not the debauched insanity that we thought it might be, because,
well, you guys
didn't plan it very well.
You went to see Kathy Griffin.
We saw Kathy Griffin. That's right.
And you liked it, but you said that there were some parts that kind of went on too long.
You know what I figured out? What was the issue with Kathy Griffin, who I really like? I think she's really funny. Mm-hmm. Is that, she felt more like Kathy Griffin, the brand, instead of Kathy Griffin, like the person.
Self.
Yeah. Oh. Like she kind of brand, like she was like, yeah, I am going to get banned on all the shows, and then I'm going to offend everyone. I'm going to talk about how my mom drinks too much, and then celebrity gossip, because that's what I do. I'm Kathy Griffin, you know?
Oh, right.
Instead of just has this kind of more organic feeling mm-hmm. patter and something that feels really personal.
Well, I don't think she's on the D list anymore.
I don't think she is either.
Yeah.
I will say she's 53 and she's a 35-year-old boyfriend, and that's really cool.
Holy shit. She's 53?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
She's 53.
Good for her.
I also felt like she was telling stories about her mom, Maggie, like some crazy mom stories. I was like, uh-huh. Oh, Kathy, I can match a mom story for a mom story.
Oh, you totally could.
I totally could. I'm like, you think that's wacky? Have you heard about my mom?
And what's funny also is that I met this woman mm-hmm. that looks exactly like Amy's mom.
Oh, that's right.
But like, she's only like, I don't know, 35 years old or something.
Oh my gosh, weird.
So she looks like Amy's mom at 35, and we party.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Yeah, so anyway, we spent a lot of time just like waiting. Like the first day we were waiting to, well, here's what happened. Okay, Jolynn's not here, so I did tell everybody I was going to talk about you guys while you're out of the room. So I'm going to do that now with Jolynn. Jolynn decided, not a bad decision, that when we ate in Vegas, we should go to happy hours because they were cheaper. Food was cheaper, drinks were cheaper, and then we would, you know, save some money. So I said that was perfectly fine with me. But the problem is the happy hours are from 5 to 7. So like on Friday, we went to the happy hour. I got blotto because I had two drinks. At 7:30, I was totally drunk. At 8:45, I was like, let's go home. Let's go to bed.
You're like hangover.
But then we were meeting Susan at 11. Mm-hmm. So we had to kill that time to go to the party. And then when we got to the party, I was sober. We were tired. We're like, yeah, let's go for 10 minutes and we're going to go back. And then on Saturday, I don't know how this got so screwed up, but Kathy Griffin was at 8. We didn't even leave the hotel till like noon. And Jerome's like, okay, look, we're just going to shop for like 1 to 4. We'll come back here. We'll change. We'll go to our happy hour. Then we'll go to the thing. We didn't somehow we didn't end up even getting started, even though we left the hotel in plenty of time. We didn't get anywhere till like 3. And Jerome, and there was a hot walk that sucked, and Jolynn was like, well, let's just stay out, we have to come back here anyway, so let's just stay out, let's just power through until the show, because then we don't have to spend money on a cab going back and forth and we won't miss the happy hour. I'm like, okay. So at 3:15, that was a good idea. At 4:30, I was just like, oh my god, kill me, you know, like we were hot and sweaty and gross and we didn't want to shop anymore and we had so much time left. And they went to the restaurant, they're like, oh, we don't have happy hour. Our website's wrong.
Oh,
I know. And like, I spent like $170 on a dress. So that was how I was justifying that. I'm like, well, I won't spend it on dinner or the cab. But then I did anyway.
But then you did.
Yeah. So then after that, we're like, we're so fucking tired. Like we got back to the hotel like 10 something. Oh my gosh, that's really funny. So we get back to the hotel. We're exhausted. I mean, we've been like tromping around for 10 hours, basically, doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And finally, we got back to the hotel. We're disgusting and sweaty and tired. And we just want to go back up to the room. We find like we had to walk all the way, like it's like a half a mile walk to the freaking elevators, you know, in those hotels. So big and so loud. And I like couldn't take humanity anymore. It was so crowded. I'm like, no more humanity. I need to be alone. And we got to the hotel and we got to the door to our room. We're like, oh, yes. And then we heard voices in the room. And I don't know how you feel when you finally feel like you are going to go to bed and you're so tired. And then you think there's a party going on in your room. And so Jolynn just looked, we just looked at each other and Jolynn looks at me and she goes, no. And then we laughed for a really long time. And it was very funny. And actually it was Cherry Torn in the room and she was lovely. She was so sweet.
It was Cherry and Alex getting their stuff from my room.
Yeah, they could not have been nicer. And then Jolynn's like, I feel bad that I'm in Las Vegas. I'm going to bed before 11. I'm like, I don't feel bad. You want to go out? Go out. She's like, I don't want to go out. I'm like, don't feel bad. I hate having to feel bad about things that are supposed to be fun.
I hate having to feel bad about things, period.
Yeah, true. But especially things that are like voluntary.
Yeah.
And optional.
Yeah.
It's like, you can do anything you want right now, so do what you want.
Yeah, totally. You know? Yeah, don't feel bad about that.
If you want to go to bed, go to bed.
The parties on, you're talking about Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, the parties on Saturday night were not as good. See, here's the thing about DEF CON is the parties on Wednesday and Thursday nights are phenomenal. Like,
oh, really?
Through the roof.
Okay.
Friday and Saturday are a little more mellow.
Even Susan got home Saturday at 3:30 in the morning, which was super early for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to bed at 3:30.
Yeah. That was crazy.
So, I mean, all the previous nights, it was like 5:30.
So, having said that, it was a good time.
It was a good time. My girl party, was pretty lame.
I went. It was fun. I made a bracelet.
I brought like some things to decorate, and then I made, you know, I brought beads to make bracelets, and two of my light up things got stolen.
Boo.
Because see, I had to leave in the middle of my party. Like, first I was late for my party, and then I had to leave in the middle because a friend of mine said, you have to make an appearance at my party. So I'm like, okay. So I left in the middle of my party, went up and then came down, and then there was only like a half an hour. So I was at my party for maybe a half an hour at the beginning and a half an hour at the end.
Oh,
and that's it. And it was supposed to, oh, my belly's hanging out. my I was supposed to be meeting all of these women that I had invited to my party. But I met one.
Okay. That's good.
And said hello to several more. Mm-hmm. But luckily it was a party within a party, so a bunch of people were there just to be there anyway.
There were bounce houses.
There were bounce houses, mm-hmm. Yep. And but I did get a lot of Twitters like, I came to your party, where were you?
Oh, that
I was
sucks.
Like, oh, I suck. I suck at this.
You could try again next year.
But I did see the guy that organizes the parties, mm-hmm. and he said that next year I was going to have my own party room.
Oh, good.
So I do have to be a little more responsible.
Yes, you do, little lady.
And I'm going to have to throw some money at it.
Oh, wow. All so. Right. But then it'll be a really big shindig.
But it'll be a really big shindig and yeah. really cool.
Amy, did you mention how we talked to some young men on...
I didn't. Oh, you can talk gosh. About that.
It was so sad. What...
I did talk about how sad it was.
Well, we looked great, first of all.
We did.
I mean, of course. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like we were kind of like a little bit in our own bubble, just yeah. like circulating through. Yeah. You know, of course, we're 20 years older than 90% of the people mm-hmm. there. But we struck up some very innocuous, harmless, wholesome conversations with mm-hmm. a few young men here mm-hmm. and there.
We did.
I talked to Rich, who was from London. Mm-hmm. And just like so... in like not on my like I think I just was wasting time waiting to smoke my cigarette that I bummed off of him.
Yeah.
And you were
I was talking to that other
killing time
guy
while I smoked the
who
cigarette
was 25 and very sweet
because you can't really bum a cigarette off. I mean, I feel like you can't just be like, okay, bye.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes you can, but yeah. these two we chose to talk to mm-hmm. for a bit, and it was just so like so not in our world to talk to like a 24-year-old tech guy.
It was crazy.
So funny.
I know.
But and we did that a couple times.
Yeah, we talked to those guys in the cab.
Oh yeah,
they were sweet. Mm-hmm. They like wanted to get as far away from us as fast as possible.
Oh, they did. They
the
ran.
Cab dropped us off, but they
ran so far.
They paid for the cab and they were friendly. That's in nice. The cab.
And then also the guy, did you notice that the young man who took the cab with us to the airport,
yeah,
when he got out he said, have a nice life.
Yes. But we didn't even talk to that guy. I'm like, I'm over being friendly.
But that's nothing you should say to someone.
I know, it was weird. But you know, tech guys. What do they know? They don't know anything.
I spent most of the parties I hang out with Moss and Kyle,
mm-hmm.
usually separately, and Austin, and they're all like little 20 something year old nerd
babies.
Boys. They're so cute, mm-hmm. and they like. So Saturday night, I got a little bit drunk. Okay, so I was kind of like hanging all over Kyle,
mm-hmm.
and he was being like so respectful. Like I'd like
to call
put
you
my
ma'am?
Arm all the way, you know, all over, all mm-hmm. around his whole shoulders, and because he's so little, and he would like just like barely put his arm around me to hold me up, and it was so funny because he was so hands off.
Yeah,
you know. And which and then a friend of his, a girl that I think he works with, was coming over and we were all talking, and then she was like dancing and then he was dancing with her,
mm-hmm.
and but he had his hands all over her.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what the fuck's
so
wrong
it's
with
you
me?
Yeah.
Kyle.
hey Kyle,
throw some
here.
Of that love my
seriously,
way
seriously. Yeah.
But it was very, like, I think it was more of, like, a respect your elders kind of thing.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't, like, get away from me, gross lady. It was like,
yeah.
Okay, mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm
nice
old
to
enough
you.
To be these boys. And yeah. actually, with Moss, like, I joke with him. Like, I'll come up to him in a group, and I start yelling at him. Like, where have you been? Have you been drinking? And he goes, that's my mom.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Cute.
We're old.
I really felt it this year, though.
Yeah.
I didn't get... Well, okay, no, that's not true. I did get hit on.
Well, I hope
by
so.
By older guys.
Well, okay. Whatever. Take what you can get.
Well, we're going to take what we can get and listen to some voicemails
I'm
now.
Excited. Yay.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Because Showgirls, it's your 22-year-old Montana listener. 3 points. Number one, thank you for the shout-out on... The Orange is the New Cast. You guys, I heard you guys talk about me on there. That was pretty sweet. Thanks for that. Number two, I was catching up on like maybe 2-3 week episodes ago where the girl sent a message or called in about how she left the dude's house because she had her period and like bled all over his bed. Number one, as a dude, you should be able to just understand that girls are going to have their period. Okay, that's just natural, and it's weird to me that guys won't have sex on their period when girls are on their periods. I don't have a problem with it. But if you have a period and don't tell the guy and just leave his bed of bloody mess, he's going to think you, like, sacrificed a chicken or his cat or something. So it, the best thing to do, at least for me, would have been to just be like, hey, this happened, and I would have been cool with it. I don't know if how many guys share that opinion. And number three, just keep up the good work, guys. Love your podcast. Keep doing it every week. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, Montana,
we love Montana
you.
Guy. You are so sweet.
Okay, Montana, when we were listening to your voicemail message, we were all just like cringing and wincing with your cuteness and sweetness and
we
so
were.
Cool
we
of
were,
you.
We were hugging you.
Yeah,
we were.
We give you virtual hugs, especially because you're down with the menstruation.
Yeah, good for you.
Love that.
And especially at such a young age.
And it's true, girls. Like, you know, if you're on your period and a guy like is like hot and heavy all over you, you need to, like, let him know, maybe.
Well, I don't
a
think she
bit.
Knew, though. I don't think this girl knew. Yeah, I think she just got it. Like, the next day, she was like, holy shit. That's happened to me. That seems like it happens a lot to people. Like, you're maybe going to get it in a few days, but you don't have it yet. And, like, the sex kind of, like, uncorks it.
Oh.
That has happened to me a few times.
Yeah. Shakes it loose.
Yeah, or, like, it does. pushes the seal off.
Yeah. Another thing, you guys want to hear something really gross?
Yeah.
Here's an idea. If you're, like, almost done with your period at the very end and you're just, like, there's just, like, a little bit of, like, brown goop coming
out,
you can have sex and get that nice semen douche up there.
Gross.
And it kind of washes gross. I told you it was gross.
Thank you. That's an excellent tip from Susan.
Isn't that a great idea?
It's like BuzzFeed. Like, it's like a period hack.
It's a period hack.
You're not going to believe number 8.
Well, we do appreciate, and he is one of the few male listeners who's actually taken us up on our offer to call in and express his opinions.
Yeah, thank you. Other guys?
Once again, we
salute
you.
Well, our other guys call in. Rob calls in. Not lately.
Not lately.
Juan, Rob, Ian.
Maybe they need to be reminded of our number.
Let's have some calls.
It's 818-643-1565. Mm-hmm. And what else do we have on tap?
Hey, Because Show, this is Katie again. I'm sorry if you're getting sick of me, but, you know, you ask for pee stories and you will not be denied. So as mothers, and Susan, you as a teacher also, you probably all know that little kids are very literal. Until they're a certain age, they just don't get sarcasm. And my mom found that out the hard way. So I was 6 years old. I was really afraid of bugs, and I woke up in the middle of the night one night and I had to pee. So I went to the bathroom, and there was a cricket on the floor between me and the toilet, and I was like, no, not going to deal with this. It's going to jump on me. It's going to be disgusting. So I went back up the hall to my mom's room, and I'm poking her in the shoulder, and I'm like, Mom, I got a tinkle, and there's a cricket in the bathroom. You got to kill it for me. And, you know, she was, like, half awake, and she was like, oh, you know, just wet the bed. So I went back to my room, and I was like, kind of weird. My mom just told me to wet the bed, but I can't go in the bathroom. The cricket's going to kill me. So I better just do what I'm told. So, you know, I was considerate about it. I pushed the comforter out of the way, and I got up on all fours, and I was like, well, here goes nothing. So I, you know, emptied my bladder all over the bed, and then I was like, well, shit, I can't sleep here now. So I went back to my mom's room, and I'm poking her in the shoulder. Mom, you got to change my sheets. And that got her attention. That woke her up fully. And she was like, what did you do? I said, well, you told me to wet the bed. So I did. So I feel like I should just take this opportunity to publicly apologize to my mom for doing that and for pooping in her when I was born. And also thank her for not punishing me for that and taking the time to really teach me the meaning of sarcasm. A lesson that I'll never forget. So thanks, Mom.
Wow. That's quite the story, Katie. That's another good one.
And you know, it's a good thing you did pee in your bed because that cricket would have eaten you.
Yeah, that crickets are killer.
Yeah.
Crickets are evil. Huh.
Wow.
That was one tired mom.
What a nice mom to like not punish you for,
well
you know,
she told
her
to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, she was just probably so tired, just wet the bed. She thought she'd probably just sleep in it and she wouldn't have to get up.
Maybe she was sleep talking.
Maybe.
No, I think she was like being sarcastic. Like, oh, well, I guess you're just going to have to wet the bed then.
Oh, really?
You can't go in the bathroom.
Oh, maybe. I thought she was like, oh, don't bother me. Because
then
she
had a lesson in sarcasm.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I guess Katie is right. And so is Susan. Do you have any pee stories?
A girl peed her pants in one of my sixth grade classrooms.
Really?
And it just like filled up the chair and was like dripping over the sides.
Ew.
Okay. Yeah. We have a lot to go over.
Okay. Do we have another voicemail?
I think we do.
Okay.
Hello, ladies. This is Elizabeth calling. It has been a little while and I've been meaning to call in to say congratulations on 200 episodes and thank you so much for the continued content you put out there. I love listening and I love listening to you guys on Orange is the New Black cast. Love everything they do over there. I was obsessed with the Breaking Bad podcast that they did. But I just wanted to call in and say thanks for talking about everything from poop to, you know, equality with women. It's fascinating and I love just everything you guys are putting out there. I would have to say the only thing worse than, you know, pooping in an inopportune time is not pooping, and that is probably worse, which happens with international travel or to remote villages, you know, in Africa, Ethiopia is all I will say. But I did love the discussion, you know, me working in finance about women and money, and I believe Beyonce has a quote about, you know, how a woman should manage her own money and how money is power. And I 100% agree with that. And I do believe that, that, you know, we are getting closer to being equal to our male counterparts. There 45% of Americans millionaires are now women. So, and that just continues to increase. And with women, the statistics shifting in our favor as far as birth rate, it is only a matter of time until we are going to take over. So to Amy's premonition about that in the future, I mean, statistics and if you look at the science, that is just going to happen, which I'm very thrilled with. And more women are, you know, they manage the majority of the money in households when there is a man and a woman. So we just need to keep on keeping on. And that is all. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Miss Elizabeth, it is so good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Well, thank you for all the compliments. That
and
is very nice.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, it's great to hear you. And I'm glad that that you did research about my premonition and that it's true. Although I think it's I think it's not going to be all good. I think there's going to be some pissed off guys who are feeling pretty marginalized and they're going to act out. But other parts of it will be good.
Yes.
We'll just give them a timeout and it'll work out. Okay. I also have a not pooping story.
You want to segue right into that?
Well, no. it's just like it's not really a story. It's just like a couple sentences.
Okay.
Just about not being able to. And I think I've even said it before, but like when I went to London with a friend of mine, I got totally backed up. Like I couldn't poop in the foreign country.
And Sometimes that happens when you travel, right?
I could do it was in TGI Fridays.
Because it's American?
Yep. I went to TGI Fridays and I finally got some relief. It was the only place I could poop in England.
That is fucked up, Amy.
I know. But whatever, it worked.
Well, I want to address the last voicemail quickly to say thank you to Elizabeth. And I'm glad you appreciated everything we talk about.
Me too.
From money to poop. And I would love to do, let's do another like a money update because we haven't talked about that in a long time.
Yeah.
But let's check in on a future episode and say where we're at.
And I think maybe Elizabeth can give some tips too.
Or we can give some tips.
Well, we can give some tips, but she's professional. So it'd be nice for her to you know.
Yeah.
Write us with some good tips or something, observations or whatever.
We can give tips and then she can tell us if we're right or wrong.
Whatever. We'll figure it out.
I have a good tip.
What?
I don't know if I think I've said this before, but my husband and I, we have separate bank accounts. Mm-hmm. We don't have any joint accounts at all.
And you are the only one of this trio who's still married.
I'm the only one of the trio that's still married. And it works out great.
Yeah.
We divide up the bills. It's like, okay, you pay this bill, I'll pay this bill. He makes more than I do. So we use that ratio to kind of divide up
like
the expenses.
60-40 or whatever
Yeah, exactly. And it works really well. And right now, he's just getting off 2 months of no working. But the good news is there were three jobs fighting over him.
That's awesome.
So it took him 2 months for his agent to figure out what they were going to do.
Good for
but
him.
He wasn't getting paid during that.
Yeah.
So I've had to kind of step in. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you know, like I have my money, so I can do that. You know, it's really helpful.
Well, when you say you need to step in, what do you mean? You paid the bills or you lent him money, or like what does Stepan mean to you?
That means I paid some bills, and I mean he doesn't have to pay me back. Whereas most people would just, we'll just take it out of our joint account. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm giving it to the family. I'm like, okay, we'll just take out of my account for that.
Well, how did you pay the mortgage? Did you pay all the bills? Could you afford to do that on your own?
I've been paying minimums. Because normally we pay more. Like, if your bill says, you must pay $25 of this $2,000 that you owe.
Yeah.
So usually I pay like $300.
Mm-hmm. You pay a little bit of the principal in addition to the interest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So this time, you know, I would just pay the, I'd do like $26.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wait, so
instead of $300.
Why do you...
And then...
Okay, go ahead.
And then I paid a big chunk of his portion of the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And like the electricity bill, which is usually his domain, so I just paid that.
Okay.
So because I like saved my money last month, and I've only paid the minimums on for 2 months now, that I have the money that I can do that. Yeah.
Good.
So it's worked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good, but I don't understand why you're paying the principal. We can save that topic for our money show.
I would like to,
because I have something to say about that.
I'm interested in why you think that's not a good idea.
I am too.
Okay, so let's,
do we have a chime in voicemail?
We have other voicemails. We're going to hold on to them because we are running long already.
Okay. All right.
So Jennifer Scheinman, we have not forgot about you.
Mente.
We have other voicemails, and we're going to hold them on to next week so we can kind of pace ourselves out.
I see. Okay.
Because otherwise we might just like be all voicemails.
We don't want to just shoot our wad.
Yeah.
And instead of shooting our wad, I wanted to talk about the science of happiness.
Okay.
One of our favorite topics. Mm-hmm. I heard, have you guys heard of the TED Talks?
Like, sure.
Okay. Did you know there's a NPR TED Talks podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Is that what TED Talks is? I thought they were videos.
They're videos, but I guess if you just
both
put them on audio, then they're
okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, this isn't. I think this is it's like kind of a This American Life of a TED Talk, where it's not just like the audio recording from a TED Talk. Mm. A producer has come in and sort of abbreviated and condensed and sort of segued, and there's perhaps three different storylines within one TED Talks podcast.
Because TED Talks
so it's really good.
Mm-hmm. TED Talks are supposed to be 20 minutes in length. Mm-hmm. No more.
These are 50 minutes. So they took, or maybe they just took three TED Talks and linked them all together. But anyway, I've been binge listening to the NPR TED Talks because they're new to me. And one of them was called How We Love. Mm. And there was a story, I think I mentioned this to you, Amy, about prenuptial agreements. There was a story about a woman who prenuptial agreement like severely affected her life. Mm-hmm. That was one segment. Another segment I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And then one was about the science of happiness. It was stuff that because show listeners already know, because
we're on the cutting edge as all times.
And of course we all know that humans are hardwired to be happy.
You think?
Unless they're
not.
Exactly. Unless there's chemical imbalances in the brain. But like, let's say, I guess this is could possibly be up for debate. Mm-hmm. There's large camps of people who believe that happiness is our default. So no matter how bummed out or blissed out you get in either direction of the spectrum, you always come back to your baseline of pretty happy. Right?
Okay.
All right.
I'm
with you.
And they've discovered that after 3 months, most people return to baseline happiness after any type of trauma.
Huh.
So 3 months. Huh?
Yeah, 3 months. It's all it takes for the, you know, this is on the average. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can you know, get through those 3 months.
Yeah, it's good to hear. I don't know if I... Well, let's see. We both got divorced, so that's a pretty major trauma. And or is it I mean, I don't know if it's more of a roller coaster, you know, and other people I know have gotten divorced. It's more like, I don't know if it's just like a hard 3 months, then you start feeling okay again. It's like you feel okay most of the time, and then there's sometimes like way up and sometimes way down, and I think it's more like it takes years for it to level off.
Well, listen, and of course I would qualify this by, let's say there's varying degrees of trauma, of course.
True.
Like the worst one, the death of a loved one, to lesser extents, like a divorce or job loss or like that. So, you know, it does depend. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, with happiness, there's two different types of it. There's the one that's experienced in the moment, and then there's the happiness you can gain by reframing the experience. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have a shitty trip to Vegas, right?
for instance.
Yeah. I'm totally kidding. Okay. I had fun. Okay. but no,
for the sake of this argument, let's pretend no. You didn't.
So, or like a photo shoot, right? Okay. Let's bring the photo shoot back into play. Mm-hmm. So remember how I said I had such a great time at the photo shoot and then my ex kind of squashed on me. Mm-hmm. And so it bummed me out when I thought about the photo shoot. I was like, kind of like, oh, like, why did I do that? That was so stupid. Like, you know, what a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So then my shrink was like, how can you reframe that experience? How can you put it in a better light so that you're happy about it? Instead of having it be this bummer, you can turn it into something good.
Yeah.
And so she mentioned reframing to me like weeks ago. And then so I'm listening to this TED talk and I hear about reframing. And so reframing is basically you're synthesizing your happiness, and it's perfectly legitimate. It's just as legitimate as, you know, naturally experienced happiness, but you're making it.
So how do you do it? How do
you do that? Reframe it by putting it in terms that make you happy. Like there's no formula.
Okay. So how did you do it for the photo shoot?
I have not done it yet.
Okay.
I haven't done it yet.
Let's do it live.
Let's do it right now.
Well, no, I mean, I know what I could do. I could be like, oh, it's good to take chances and you're going on personal exploration and you had such a great time with your friends and it was something you had never done before.
And you have a great, you know, souvenir or great.
You have some lovely photos.
Beautiful photos of you in your prime.
Right.
She's not buying it.
No, I mean, I can say that, but like, I don't really feel it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe, and I'm not really putting any effort into it right now, but if I really wanted to reframe that, I would. And
you kind of meditate on it.
And think of the build up, how exciting that was.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I get it, but I don't feel it authentically that, because it was such a fucking pain in the ass to have my ex come down on me so hard.
I know.
Like, it was really crappy. So it was like,
and maybe you should reframe that in terms of like, maybe he's not allowed to have that kind of power over you.
Exactly.
You
know?
Yeah.
Exactly. So there is some reframing. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if that would make me happy, you know.
But it might get you back to neutral.
Yeah. So, and an example of this, besides the photo shoot, is when people say, you know, they lose all their money, they are destitute, they go bankrupt, and they say something like, I'm so much better off now. Yeah. Because I've learned so much about myself, or, you know, I'm so glad I had to go through those trials and tribulations to get to where I am now.
That comes back to this book I read at the end. She said, I would not wish it didn't happen.
Oh, really?
It's a terrible thing. She's like, I would never wish it didn't happen, because now there's more awareness of it. Mm-hmm. There's more growth, et cetera, et cetera.
So that's reframing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, or people who are like sentenced to life in jail. There was an example in this TED talk of somebody who was sentenced to life in jail for a crime he didn't commit.
And oh my God.
17 years into a sentence, the, you know, legal machine discovered their mistake. He was let out and he announced to the press, I don't want 1 minute of it changed. I have no regret. It was glorious.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes me want to go to jail.
So yeah, I mean, I think that's something we can all try to do.
Well, you know what
is a little bit of reframing.
Interesting. And kind of along the lines of reframing. I've been feeling super anxious lately. Like, okay. I don't know why, but for the past couple months, maybe I've just, maybe longer than that, like up and down, just way more anxiety than I'm used to. And I'm trying to get, like, I'm aware of it. You know, I'm not just like freaking out and I don't know why. I know this is anxiety, but I can't like get on top of it. You know, like I can't like quite make it go away and be calm the way I want to. So I know that when you know, and being anxious can make you have some really bad thoughts just over and over and over. What if this happens? What if this happens? Then this is going to happen. Then it's this terrible thing. And look what I'm doing. And I have to stop. I have to stop this. And I can't stop. Whatever. And so you get these neuron pathways in your brain. You know, like the more you think that way, the more you're going to think that way.
Because it just becomes automatic.
Yeah. It just like wears its the freeway in your brain. Yeah. And so I think when you actually do change your thoughts like that, you can redirect it. And I think that's what reframing is too. To just like be like, stop. This isn't who you are. It's not what you're doing. You're going to do this other thing. You're going to go for a walk, whatever it is.
Yeah, you definitely just have to, it has to be in the front of your brain. You have to consciously stop yourself.
Well, it's called self-talk.
Self-talk.
Yeah, but you have the power to actually change the way your brain works.
That's called cognitive behavior.
Exactly.
Cognitive behavioral thinking. And for those of us who are familiar with the psychotherapy world.
Yeah, cognitive behavioral therapy. And you can change it, which is pretty powerful. It's pretty great to know that that's possible.
One trick to do that is that you imagine when you're going down that pathway that you don't want to go to, you imagine a big red stop sign.
Oh, that's a good one.
Boom.
That's a good one.
And then you consciously have to redirect your thinking
into
positive self-talk.
The gayest, dorkiest little poem I made, a little saying I made up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To make myself feel better. It's so embarrassing that I'm just going to
open up.
Are you going to share it?
I'm going to put my shame out there. You guys all think I'm like cool and funny and witty. And this is going to make me, you're all going to be like, oh my God, it's going to dash all my coolness immediately.
Okay.
But I did, you know, I mean, I know that you can do that. You can take deep breaths. Mm-hmm. You can think a different way. And you can like jolt yourself out of it by going for a walk, just doing something else.
Okay.
So I have this little rhyme I say to myself. This is so embarrassing, which is...
Okay. You can do it. You can do it.
Breathe, think, do. Feeling better is up to you.
Oh! That is breathe. So cute. Okay.
Breathe, oh my God.
Think, do. Yeah. Feeling better is up to you.
Yeah, that's what I tell myself. I'm so blushing right now. Aww, I can tell. It's really
that's awesome. You should trademark that. You could build an empire.
A tote bag that says that or a t-shirt that says, what is it?
Think, breathe, do
on the front.
Feeling better is up to you.
On the back of the t-shirt. Okay. Oh my God, that's great.
We should get some. I want one with WPWL on it.
What was that one again?
A whole person, whole life. I have another one then. I'll tell you my other one. This isn't quite as embarrassing, but this was with my ex when we were having more conflicts, you know, post-separation. It was really difficult. And he is a guy who comes on really strong. Mm-hmm. And I didn't always feel like I could stand up to him. I felt like I just kind of, you know, scared. Yeah, just caved immediately. Yeah. And we had to make some decisions together, especially the childcare decisions, things mm-hmm. that I couldn't, you know, leave him out of.
Right.
And it was making me really nervous because of his personality and my personality with him. So mine, and the other rhyme was, just because he has a say doesn't mean he gets his way.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's another good one. So.
That's a good one.
A mnemonic device.
Yeah, I'm full of all kinds of embarrassing rhymes, wow. It turns out.
Very, very nice wordplay. I mean, of course, that's coming from you with your wordy brain. Getting back to the TED Talks, people can hear more on if they go to ted.npr.org. And there's like a whole bunch of them. I watched one about like acts of violence, but it wasn't gross or scary or disturbing. It was just like the human take on violence in three different segments.
I'm going to listen to that. That sounds
good. Oh, yeah. I mean, one was about the prison experiment where students were divided into groups of prison guards and
but
it went into like a lot more detail.
I heard about that.
I think it was Zimbardo's. Totally cannot recommend this enough. One of the things that my takeaway was is that from listening to this happiness episode is that happiness is just one emotion and humans are not made to be happy all the time.
True.
The brain cannot sustain a single emotion constantly. So you have to have the highs, the lows. So when you feel bad, you'll remember how great it is to feel good.
Okay, so can we put a pin on anger? Can we talk about anger in a future episode?
Yeah.
Have we already talked about it?
No, never.
Okay, I've been thinking about it a lot. So future episode, talk about anger.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The angry episode.
The angry episode, totally.
Oh, wait, what about hangry?
And hangry. We'll talk about anger and hanger and banger.
Banger? Ooh.
And fanger. Ooh. Getting fangered, angry fingering.
Oh, gross,
yeah, I'm
dude.
Back to being gross again. Good. No more sincerity from me.
Well, do you guys want to know some new words?
Yes.
Let's totally take it in a different direction. It turns out that there is now a dictionary of untranslatables. It's a word lover's dream. This might be a good present for somebody. It's over 1,000 pages.
Oh.
It's $65.
Oh,
this is like a hardcover, you know, like a real book, not an e-downloadable.
Mm-hmm.
Not to diss the downloadable books. Yeah. But it's an encyclopedic dictionary of close to 400 important philosophical, literary, and political terms. And so you can Google Dictionary of Untranslatables. I think it's put up by like the Harvard Press or, you know, edited by so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. So one of the words in there is Irrleben, which means in German, live and learn.
Okay.
Like, so instead of saying live and learn, you can
just be like...
I thought
these were untranslatable.
Well,
Geraldine. Yeah,
it's that, but if we were German, we would use one word for this. But since we don't, we don't have one word that's translatable, we have to use three, and learn.
It's like Spilkies, right?
I don't know
what that is. You guys know what Spilkies
are? Spilkies? No. That's when you spill your spills?
No, it's Yiddish. It means like when you get ants in your pants, you just have to like, you just feel so jumpy, you got to get out of there right away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I can't be inside, I can't be outside, I don't know what I want to do. I got Spilkies, yeah.
You can't just say Spilkies. You have to say, I've got Spilkies.
Well, you probably could just yell out and say Spilkies,
and then
like you have
room.
Yiddish Tourette's, but usually it's like I have Spilkies.
Well, mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I also like that in German there's a different word for living and living through something.
Oh, okay.
Like you yeah. would live and is Leben, mm-hmm. and living through is Erleben.
Oh,
so they make a distinction. Mm-hmm. Also, this is a word that is not translatable. Mm-hmm. It's called jamais vu. Of course, it's French. Mm-hmm. It's got that lovely French cadence. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of déjà vu.
Oh.
So
when you do something, you do like a lot and
you've never done before.
You've never done it before?
It is. It's the phenomenon of experiencing a situation that one recognizes in some fashion, but nonetheless seems completely unfamiliar. Mm. And it is often a symptom of aphasia, amnesia, yeah. and epilepsy.
Yeah.
So you can be looking at like a frying pan with an egg cooking in it and like have no idea what it is.
Weird.
So it's a little bit of a brain
that sounds scary.
Disorder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To have jamais vu. But I love the...
It does.
Something that you've done a million times, but you have no idea.
And it seems super totally new. Yeah.
And then there's also one called jammy vu. Which is when you've worn
your pajamas
same pajamas
yeah, exactly.
so many times that all of a sudden you have jammy vu. So, yeah, there's lots of good ones out there. I think I'm going to put a pin in that for now.
Okay.
And we have some listener feedback. We got a new listener. She says her name is Stacy. She's a new listener. Mm-hmm. She's been an avid Bald Move person for a couple of years, and she started listening to our very old episodes, going back to the very beginning, and she's been working on catching up. She has to say she totally loves us because we are so fantastic and fun.
Thank you.
And she just started episodes in 2013.
Wow.
So she has a lot.
You got a lot
coming up.
A lot of Picasso to roll around in.
I know. It's because it starts getting better in 2013.
It sure does. Yeah.
Yeah, we stopped talking about like nap time and juice boxes.
Right.
She also says she loves Pinterest. She's listening to episodes where we mention it a lot. Hmm. She says she found Amy on Pinterest.
Okay.
But she hasn't found me.
I don't update it.
Susan, are you on Pinterest?
I don't think so.
As a teacher, you're not really?
I don't have time for that stuff, you guys.
Okay. I think I was on it for a bit, but I have not updated it. She says it's been really interesting to listen to us from the beginning. It's really such a long period of time in our life, and it's happening so fast in my ears. I mean, imagine like if you listen to a couple episodes like totally out of order from several years, and you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
things have all changed for you such a bunch, and she's still over a year away in our lives from catching up.
She's got a lot to go.
Criminy, I'm so excited to see where you all are now. Oh, we have like
it's like our story. I know. It's like
nice. I mean, she's like rooting for us.
Aww.
She constantly wants to write in and respond to things, but she has to remind herself that this is all stuff that happened years ago.
Yeah, she won't hear this episode for like another 6 months.
Oh man, I know.
Or something.
Well, it depends on how fast she's burning.
That's true.
Through.
It's past the binge.
Hey, Stacey. She says no. Hopefully, in a couple of weeks, she'll be in real time. Mm-hmm. So thanks for the podcast.
Wow, what a woman!
I know.
All right, Stacey, you should. You got to when you're done. When you catch up, you got to call us and tell us if you. From where you started where the ended, like if there were any surprises or things you expected or not expected.
Or send us an email if you prefer. But and then
no
also
call in.
Well,
okay, email fine. Do what you want.
And Sherry Daisy did a follow up. She was so pleased and happy that we highlighted her email on the last show that she wanted to follow up to say that the reason she didn't know that she went through menopause. Mm-hmm. Susan, I don't think you were here.
But I was not here.
Sherry said she went through menopause and she didn't even know it. It's because she had an IUD put in 10 years ago, and so she never had a period.
Oh, I was going to say, wouldn't the lack of a period be your first clue?
I had the other kind of IUD put in.
What? That makes it a big period? Like
a
lot?
Okay. Yeah. The kind without hormones.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So she was one of the lucky people who lost the period once the IUD was inserted. Yeah. And she also says, you know, we were talking about craziness, like crazy love.
Mm-hmm.
She has a crazy love story for us.
Okay.
She says she has been a crazy psycho. And in college, her most embarrassing story was when she staked out her boyfriend's house, her ex-boyfriend's, all night long because she thought he had a girl in his apartment. and she was determined to catch her leaving.
Oh, good. Ooh, one. I love how those choices just seem so reasonable at the time.
And I kind of imagine her like hiding in the bushes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Eating cookies.
Yeah. But she says, sadly, no girl came out, or at least she didn't leave for a very long ass time. Mm-hmm. And then the second most embarrassing moment may have been when she punched this guy in a nightclub.
Cool.
And she says she does not have a violent bone in her body.
No, somehow, obviously you've won.
I don't.
It happened. Yeah, I know. He fucking deserved it.
Oh, yeah, my God. Sure, he deserved it.
I wonder what that was all about. Yeah. Ooh, drama. Funny, funny. Thank you, Sherry. And everybody else who wants to write in or call in at 818-643-1565, tell us. I love that our podcast has got this element of interactiveness.
Yeah, me too. It's great.
It's feeding off of listener stories. Yes. It's easy content for me.
Well, I have something to add to
please
crazy.
Please do.
Do you remember the crazy boyfriend that I had that had the guns scattered throughout the house?
I do.
So guess who I saw this weekend?
No.
Yes.
You held on to that this whole time?
He was there. He was at the kids' DEF CON right before I did the Hacker Jeopardy. And he I'm like writing something on a bookcase or something. I don't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, Susan. And I'm like, hi. And I looked at him like, God, that guy looks familiar.
Oh my God.
Who is that? I'm like, I think I know that guy.
We didn't even remember him.
I didn't even
recognize
him. Yes.
Oh my God.
And then I got closer and I was like, oh my God, Dominique, hey.
Oh
hi.
My God.
I'm like, what are you doing here? I thought you didn't come to DEF CON anymore. He's like, oh, my nephew's here for the kids thing. And so we talked a little bit and I was just like blown away. Like,
was your heart racing?
Fuck?
Were you like, zoinks?
Only because I didn't have anything to say to him. Oh, you know, like, what do you
so
say?
Weird.
Well, how did he look? Did he look good?
He looked good.
Did he
looked
look
really
the same?
Good.
Like, as you remember him?
He looked trimmer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A little more muscular.
So that was good.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he's like, I don't know, 3 years old.
Was there any,
No.
Okay. I won't even continue right. in that
no,
vein.
I guess exciting. He's, I think he's married.
Mm.
Yeah. And, but he doesn't have any kids.
Okay.
But I guess he was there with his sister-in-law and nephew.
All right.
So, yeah, we, talked for a little while and just, bullshitted kind of. Like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this Hacker Jeopardy thing and blah,
so
blah,
crazy.
Blah. And, I haven't seen him since probably, 10 years.
Oh, my gosh. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, that is crazy, and I'm going to share a little bit of my craziness.
Okay.
Ooh. Amy, since you said you've been feeling anxious,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been feeling anxious, too, just in the last, 24 hours.
Oh, really?
Because I didn't tell you this, but this is going to be a little bit of a Kermit update.
Oh, good.
Now, just tell me what you guys think of this, okay?
Okay.
Kermit told me that he had to go get his car out of the DMV, out of impound, and it cost $1,000 because he had the car was towed away. It had a boot put on it.
Ooh.
Because he had he had several unpaid parking tickets and his registration was expired.
Oh, Kermit.
Irresponsible.
Kermit.
Okay,
Kermit.
And so he's a 44-year-old man,
yeah.
right? How much leeway, how much allowance do you make? I mean, you know, happens. I just got a parking ticket. I mean, a traffic ticket.
Are you going to pay it?
Monday.
Are you going to pay it?
I am going to pay it. Yeah. That's why I'm like, what?
I think this is more like red flag. Not so much like, oh, allowance versus not allowance. It's like red flag. Just no. This
just,
is
just
part of Kermit.
Note. I think.
Well, I
just
told my
note.
Sister, and she wrote on Facebook, she wrote oh, that's bad, all in capitals, and I was like, are you is that sarcasm or is that sincere? And she said, well, it's pretty bad, a 44-year-old grown man who can't keep his car, but it's not like you're trying to build a life with him or anything.
Right. That's what I was gonna say.
Like, yeah.
Not like he's your
I
husband.
Know, but that fucking. But so say I want to go to Tokyo. $1,000 that he just spent on getting his car out of impound,
right.
That could have gone towards a plane ticket to Tokyo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it could have.
I know.
So,
something tells me I need to be dating an orthodontist or.
Old handsome man. He would so go to Tokyo with you.
I actually wrote him an email.
You did? What'd you say? Did you
hear
back?
Carolyn's little laugh where she's like,
she's like, hee hee hee. Yeah, totally. You guys.
Okay. No, because I was thinking, I'm like, well, I want to travel. And like, yeah. Nobody can travel
yeah.
with me.
Yeah. Except for that guy. Yeah.
except for old guy.
Old handsome guy.
So, no. So I looked at my phone. I don't have his phone number anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I deleted it. I cannot text him. I can't find him on OkCupid. I didn't really look that hard. But mm-hmm. I have a feeling he disabled his account. So, but I did find him on Facebook, but he mm-hmm. and I are not friends. Mm. So, but you know how you can send messages to people who aren't yeah. your friends and it just goes into
yeah.
another folder?
Yeah. So if he ever sees it.
Yeah. So if he ever sees it.
If yeah.
he sees it, yeah. So, yeah, it goes into the other folder. Mm-hmm. And as he is an older guy, I doubt he would know to check that folder.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, but I wrote, hey.
Why didn't you send him did you send him a friend request?
Oh, I don't know if I could do that.
That's commitment, Amy.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what my
send him a friend request. Send him an email, then defriend him if it doesn't work out.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I could do that.
Then he'll see it at least.
Because no, my message was like, "Hey, this is Geraldine from OkCupid. Remember me? I was the tallish blonde kook that you had over for dinner a while ago. I just saw your movie. I saw the movie billboards that mm-hmm. all over town because he mm-hmm. Produced this Diane Keaton, Michael Douglas movie that just came out mm-hmm. and How's your summer been?
Want
to go to Tokyo?
That's funny.
I did that right after I found out about the fucking parking tickets. Yeah. I was like, screw this. But no, Kermit and I, as of last night, we decided to each of us were going to get off all the dating sites for 30 days.
Oh, good experiment.
Yeah. Wow. I know.
I like that experiment. See how it is.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm already kind of regretting it because I have a date next Tuesday mm-hmm. with a new guy in Venice. Uh-huh. So I have to see like when does this start? Like,
yeah.
When does this 30
Wednesday?
Days?
Yeah, no, because yeah. Kermit's leaving town to mm-hmm. go back home for a week. So like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking it might start then. But anyway, it is a constant process. Mm-hmm. It's developing.
Did he say about not paying his parking ticket? Was he just like, I didn't feel like it?
Oh, I didn't ask him. Well, we were talking on Skype. And so, you know, Skype's kind of like, it is definitely my least favorite mode of communication. Yeah. It's like a little bit pixelated, a little bit laggy. Hard to hear. Yeah, yeah, laggy. Yeah. So, I mean, I was like still absorbing. I was just like, uh-huh.
Right.
And he made it sound like, oh, no big deal. And I was like, wait.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty bad.
That's
no. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, as a freelance person, and I can relate to this, sometimes money comes and goes, and sometimes you have money to pay parking tickets. I mean, it's different for me because I work at a company and I get paid every week.
Right.
Some people do not do that. Some people, like a lot of artists and mm-hmm. musicians, they get a big chunk of money. And then it's feast or famine.
But parking tickets are usually not that, they're like $60. Like, why would you
like
not
$400?
Well, I guess, no, parking tickets are cheap. What? Moving violations are
that would be
expensive.
Okay. Like, run a
I got a
sign.
Moving violation.
Yeah, moving violations are way more expensive.
Yeah, that's
parking
like,
well, he didn't
like
tell me.
Like
he just said
bucks.
Some tickets. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe it was a moving violation. He
I have no
But still, $1,000 has got to be more than that.
I mean, you have to pay, what is it, like $100 a day that your car is in impound anyway?
Oh, and the boot is like $200 or $300.
Yeah. He said to take care of everything. It was $1,000.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So I was like, red flags.
Yeah.
But, right, we're not building a life together. So, you know, that is what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure listeners can relate.
Yeah.
Where,
probably.
You know, you like a guy and then you're like, what?
And then you like him again.
Doesn't everyone have a what moment in a relationship at some point?
Yeah, definitely. I think.
Yes. I think so,
right?
Too. Yeah.
I'm going
to
say yes.
So. Yeah, especially when you're first getting to
inevitable.
Know someone. Yeah. So anyway, so that's a little bit of my truth. I just have to speak my truth.
Okay.
And that brings us up to about an hour.
Yeah,
of,
all right.
Of the Because
and
Show.
I have one little product review that I'm just going to slip in here because it's not even worth doing a whole other segment for.
Okay. Slip it in, baby.
The that's what he said. Mm-hmm. It's a mascara,
mm-hmm.
and it's a drugstore mascara, and it is the Manga mascara. It's I don't know what brand it is. This is a typical Susan review.
I know
everything about it, but it's got a pink top and a black bottom, and it's shaped kind of torpedo-ish, and it's called Manga.
Okay.
Really good.
Yeah, your eyelashes look amazing right
Thanks.
Now.
Thanks.
Although they always do, but extra amazing.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. So until next week, we are part of the Bald Move Network, and we support them, us, everybody, mm-hmm. in all of the content. You can go over to baldmove.com and find out all the other podcasts that are happening, because there's always something happening. We will be back next week with more good news, personal anecdotes, mm-hmm. secrets, stories, voicemails, messages, the whole deal.
All kinds of good stuff.
Ladies, do you have any parting words?